We begin the current Daf Masechtas Megillah Daf Ches. Begin on the top line of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing the theme of these Mishnayis regarding the topic of Ein Bein, that there's no difference except a few exceptions or one exception, which is regarding the theme that was brought up of the topic of our Masechta, of our Perek, regarding Megillah being read in the second or the first of Adar, where we said there's no difference between the two Adars except for Kriyas Megillah and Matanas Levyonim, which is in the second Adar. So that our Mishnah continues on that theme of Ein Bein. There is no halachic difference between hamudr hanam mechaveri, if someone takes a vow prohibiting benefit from his friend, lamudr mimina meichel, or if he just takes a neder forbidding to have food from his friend, which obviously forbidding all benefit is more stringent than just taking a vow of not having benefit of food from him. But however, halachically, the only difference has come out is eladrisa sarbekel, only just walking through his property, which if someone's forbidden to have any benefit from his friend, he's not allowed to walk onto his property. Whereas if someone has a vow of only not partaking of food, he's permitted to. And the second difference is v'keilim shein oisim ben oichal nefesh, and to borrow utensils that are vessels that are not used for food purposes, that's going to be the second difference. That one is allowed to lend that to someone that took a vow only of food benefit, but prohibited to lend it to someone whose the vow is any benefit. Now, as Rashi points out, it's specifically only in the place where those types of vessels that he's borrowing, even if they're not feichal nefesh, a person can't rent those out. But in a place where you would be able to rent it out, so then actually the Mishnah teaches in Masechet Nedarim that would even be forbidden for the one that the neder is even just for meichel. Why? Because any benefit where, if this person wouldn't have it from his friend, he would lose out money. Meaning to say, because it's something that you would have to pay for it. So that's a benefit of food, because he could have used that money to go out and buy food. So therefore, it's specifically only for something which is not usually rented. That it can lend to the person that has the nether of food. But if normally you would have to rent, and you would have to pay money for what you're borrowing, so then actually that loan, that lending, even if it's not for Oichal Nefesh, is considered like Oichal Nefesh, because that money that you're saving is money that can be used for food. So the only two differences is regarding stepping on this property and to borrow from him vessels that are not used for Oichal Nefesh, and also you wouldn't have to pay to generally borrow from it. Now, but on that, the Gemara makes an inference, as it does regarding many of these Mishnahs. But regarding vessels that are used for food purposes, then both of them are forbidden, meaning it's even for someone who just took a vow not to partake of food from him, and even in a place where you don't usually pay to rent it, still that's considered food benefit. If it's a vessel that's used for food purposes, that's something that would be included in the neder, and therefore that wouldn't be a difference between mudr hanoh and mudr meichel. The second difference, we said, between them is drisus haregel, is regarding stepping on this property, which was mentioned first. On that, the Gemara asked, but holy kapti inchi, but that doesn't bother people if someone walks on this property. So why would that be forbidden, even in the case of mudra no, of having a vow of not having any benefit, but that's not having benefit of him because he doesn't care? On that, Amaravi says, Hamani, who's a town of Amishna, is Rebbe Yezer. Dhamma that he says, vitr, something that a person usually it gives up to any person, and he's not particular about it, doesn't bother him, still asa b'mudana, it's still forbidden for someone who says a vow not to have any benefit. Ultimately, even though the person doesn't care, he lets everyone go through his property. That's still considered benefiting from him, and therefore that would be forbidden for the mudana, but would not be forbidden for the mudamaychel. Because like we said, that's not something that normally you would pay for, and therefore that's not considered even in that element of a problem for the mudamaychel. Continue with the next Mishnah. Continuing on this theme of Ein Bein, Nedarm L'Nedavis. There's no halachic difference between someone who takes a vow to bring a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash or L'Nedavah to someone who donates a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. Which the Gemara is going to explain what a neder is if someone says, Hari Alai Oila, I take upon myself to bring a carbon Oila, and he has that obligation, and later on he goes and he separates a carbon, so then he's going to be liable to ensure that carbon being brought. If it doesn't, he has to replace it. Whereas in the Dava, donation is, he says, Hari Zu, he says, this animal should be brought as a carbon, but he's not accepting responsibility for it. And therefore, there's no difference between the two of them. Ella, the one difference is, Shanadorm Chayiv Bachriyu. So when someone takes a vow to bring a carbon, and then he designates it, he's responsible for insurance to make sure that another one is brought. But Nadav is in the Chayiv Bachriyu, but regarding a donation, he's not responsible. If something happens to it, it's not his liability. Now, the Gemara makes an inference here too, Hala Inim Bal Ta'achar, but regarding the liability of not delaying, one's not allowed to delay a certain amount of Yom Tovim of bringing the carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, Zev is Eshavin, that both Nadav and Nadav are the same. where although the halacha bal ta'achar of not delaying is not written by a carbon nedava, it's only written by the pasuk of nedarim, but the Gemara Rosh Hashanah learns of Migzeres Shava, and therefore the halacha of neder, of bal ta'achar, also applies for nedava, as our Mishnah seems to be alluding to that. Now, Tnan Hasim, we learned within the Mishnah Masechet Zkinim that explains, as we already mentioned, Ezehu Neder, what's exactly considered a carbon that's a vow. Someone says, I take upon myself to bring an Ayla, and then again, he subsequently designates what the animal is. That's a Neder. And Ezehu Neder, what's considered donated carbon. Ayla says, this is the Ayla. He tells this animal is the Ayla. And says the Mishnah, what's the difference between Neder and Nedava? So like our Mishnah said, Nedarim avow mesoi nignavu avdu. If the animal dies or gets stolen or gets lost, Chay b'chayusin is responsible for that because he has the responsibility. It's not on the animal. So when something happens to it, he has to go replace it. Nedavis, donations, mesoi nignavu avdu. If he said, this is a Nedava. So if it dies or if it gets stolen or gets lost, in the Chay b'chayusin, it's not his responsibility. He says, this is the animal. Something happens to it, so it's a loss of hektish. Says the Gemara, Menon Amili, where do we know this from? That by a neder, he's chay b'achrayis, that there he is responsible. Says Gemara, because the Tanya Rabbanan, when the b'achrayis, the pasuk says of Yikra, the nirtzaloi, it will be accepted as willingness for him, for the person bringing the carbon, l'chapro love, to be an atonement for him. So Rav Shimon, he expounds the pasuk, he says, es sha'alav, that which is on him, chay b'achrayis, that is responsible to ensure, which is a neder. Ve'esheinel of that which is not on him, in the chabecha yusit, that is not responsible for insurance. So essentially he expounds the pasuk as follows. When it says v'nir tzoloi, it's going to be willingness for him, what? For his neder. When it says, when it's going to be l'chaper, when he's going to get an atonement with it, then it's going to be nir tzoloi, then it's going to be considered as a willingness for him. But before he gets the atonement, meaning if it's not ultimately brought, then it's not going to be nir tzoloi for him. Now, regarding which carbon did I tell you that it has to be that you ultimately bring it to have an atonement with it, then it's considered merutza. That's with a korban that's all love on him. And that's what the pasuk means when it says a love. That means the one who has a neder. But says the Gemara, my mashma, where do you see from the word all love, which Rav Shimon has explained means to say a neder, that means to say that that's something that he took a responsibility for, his mekabel achrayis, which we explain means a neder. So Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avdim, he says, because kim no amalai, which is the terminology said by neder, once he says that chiv of carbon oil is on me, command the toy nakasavidam, it's like he's carrying it on his shoulder. In other words, he has that responsibility, that yoke, that oil. Therefore, if something happens, it's his responsibility. That we know from the pasuk of Allah, which refers to neder, that the nirtzalo is only when it's l'chaper, when it gets in tumma, when it's ultimately brought. If it's not brought, he has to replace it, in contrast to a nedava. We continue with the next Mishnah, again on this theme of Ein Bein Zav Haraya Shtei Re'is. There's no difference between a Zav, which is a male, has a neural type of a discharge, which is a certain type of secretion from his male member. There's no difference between if the Zav sees two discharges, whether it be one day or 2 days, which unlike a Zava, which is the female version, which she has, Dam is her discharge. By her, it depends on days. By the male version, it doesn't make a difference if it's 1 day or 2 days, but it would have to be consecutive. But there's no difference if he has two discharges. L'roya shalish, if he sees three discharges, whether again, if it be in 1 day or 3 consecutive days or 2 in 1 day and 1 in the next day, it has to be consecutive days, but it could be even in the same day. But it goes by discharges. There is no difference if he has 2 re'is or 3 re'is, ela carbon. Only halachic difference is regarding bringing a carbon after his purification process, that only applies when he sees 3 times and not when he sees 2 times. Now, the Gemara makes an inference, as we're saying in all these Mishnahs, but regarding, if let's say he sat or he lay on, let's say, 10 garments, one on top of the other, that all of the garments, even the bottom one, even the ones he didn't touch, are considered ave satuma, just like the Zav. The garments actually take on the bedding, or the chair takes on the same tuma as the Zav himself, because regarding something that he just touches, not laying or sitting on, so that's not considered Mishkav Moshav, that only becomes a Rishon L'tumah, but gets downgraded and through transmission. And that actually would not contaminate a person and vessels, it would only contaminate food items and beverages. But regarding what he lay on or what he sat on, and the Sphere Shiva, and regarding counting 7 days when he stopped his discharge, that then he has to count what's called Shiv Nekim, 7 clean days before he immerses himself in the mikvah, if let's say, additionally, or let's say during the Shiva Nikim, he sees a discharge, which that undoes all the 7 days, he has to start over. Regarding those two halachas, sounds like Zebazesh Shavin, that actually there, the one who has 2 discharges, or 3 discharges, they're going to be the same, regarding Mishkav and Meshav, and regarding the Shiva Nikim. It's only regarding, we said the carbon that's different, but regarding these two is the same. So the Gemara says, but not immediately, where do we know, A, that they're the same regarding Tumah, And B, like our Mishnah said, but they're not the same regarding the obligation of a carbon. So says the Gemara, talking about like we learned the Braisa. P'simoy Oime, he says, Mon ha-kasev shtayim. The Pasuk counts the discharges, which is in the word zav, which is the flow. It counts it two times. Referring to a Pasuk in Vayikra Tezvav, it says, Vish kiyeh zav mebisari. It says one time the word zav. It says, Zayvai, his flow. It says it a second time. Tamehu, enzimi tameh. So it counted two times the word ziva, which is two discharges. Bekari tameh, the Pasuk there, as we noted, says the terminology of becoming tameh. Now, additionally, shalish. You have the pasuk that says three times discharge. It says v'zayis tia tumasei b'zayvai, rar besari es zayvai, ayhechtem besari mi zayvai. So it counts three discharges, and also in that pasuk, b'karat tamei calls him in that pasuk tamei like it says tumasei. So haketzad. So how do we understand these pesukim? If already when he had two discharges, he became tamei. Why does the pasuk then delineate three discharges to call him tamei? You're already tamei from two discharges. Oh, and that says Reb Simai, because shtayim l'tuma, two discharges make him tummy. So for all tumma stringencies, the avazav, even after two discharges, he has that halacha. But v'shalish l'karbon, the reason why I mentioned it a separate time, three for tumma, is for the added stringency of having a carbon. So you see these two halachas. You see that the zav of bal shtei ri is two discharges the same for laws of tumma. But for carbon, that's going to be the difference, is only by that which has three discharges. However, in this interpretation, the Gemara asks, how do you know that? The Eimer maybe say, shtayim l'tum of aloy l'carbon. Maybe that, you're right, that two discharges, he becomes tummy without an obligation of carbon. And shalish l'carbon v'aloy l'tumma. But when he has three discharges, he actually only has to bring a carbon, but he does not have this severe level of tumma of a zav. Rather, let's say he'll have the halacha like a balkari, like someone who has a seminal mission, which has a lower level of tumma. Maybe that's what it's saying. Not that the one who has three will have tumma and carbon. Maybe saying two will have tumma, no carbon, and three discharges will have carbon, not tumma. That says Gemara Amrit, but how can you say that? Actually, Rosh Shalish, before the person with three discharges sees three, Rosh Taim, he already saw two. And you already said that when he has two discharges, he has all the severity of tumma of azab. What would remove him when he has one more discharge? So obviously, it's not going to downgrade the level of tumma. But then the Gemara asks, okay, but the Eimer maybe say the opposite. Say, shtayim l'karbon, v'loy l'tumma. Maybe, you're right, when he has two discharges, then he doesn't have the laws of severity of tumma b'zav, but he has the obligation of a carbon when he becomes purified. And shalish af l'tumma. Maybe it says, when he sees three times, then he gets not only the carbon, but also tumma. How do you know that the two has tumma and no carbon? Maybe the two has carbon and no tumma. Says the Gemara, l'sakadaitach, he can't entertain to say like that. Why? Because the Tanya learned the Braisa, says the pasuk in Yikram, it says, V'chipro lev ha-koin, lefnei Hashem, mi-zayvi. The koin will atone for this individual in front of Hashem, mi-zayvi, from his zav. Now, that sounds like miktsa zayvi, some zav, mi-zayvi, from, is exclusionary terminology. What does that mean? Miktsa zav in mevi'in carbon, because that's talking about the koin atoning, which is the bringing of the carbon when he purifies from his tumaziva. It sounds like miktsa zav, only some zav in mevi'in carbon, they bring a carbon. Mikta zavin, aim of the carbon. But sub zavin, although they're considered a zav, are not going to make a carbon. Okay, it said, how so? Obviously, rush, alish, maybe. If he sees three discharges, then he brings a carbon. Shtaim, ain't a maybe. Two times he does not bring. One time is like a balker balma. So it's excluding that which has two is considered a zav, but then he doesn't bring a carbon. Not like we were asking, maybe two brings a carbon, not tame. No, obviously, see, only the three brings a carbon and not the two. That says Gemara, no, Eina Ella, maybe no, you should interpret Ra, Beis, maybe, no, maybe, yeah. When he sees two discharges, then he brings a carbon. And maybe Ra, Shalish, Eina, maybe when he sees three discharges, then he doesn't bring a carbon. Amrit, so you're going to say, similar to the logic we said before, how could you say that? Actually, Ra, Shalish, Ra, Shtayim. Before he saw three discharges, he already saw two. If you're already obligated a carbon after two, obviously by three, and that's not going to remove the Chiv of the carbon. So therefore, that's the source. That obviously we see that some bring obviously refers to the Baal Shalish, and those who don't bring is if he only had two discharges. Now says the Gemara, we have ultimately two sources now to say this halacha, and the Gemara says v'itzach Reb Simai. We needed the first interpretation of Reb Simai that said that it counts ziva two times and says tame, counts ziva three times and says tame, to say that yeah, because two times going to have tumma, but three times going to have a carbon. And v'itzach Mizavi, we need this last interpretation that we just brought, which tells us only mikta zayva bring carbon, which is for the one who says three and not two. Why do you need both? Because the even Reb Simai, had we only had the first interpretation of Reb Simai, savimini kukushin, we would have said like we asked, which is, okay, how do you know that three is bringing the obligation of the carbon? Maybe three is bringing the obligation of tumma. Kamash Malan Me Zayvai. That's where we say, no, from Zayvai, Me Zayvai, which says that only some of them are going to bring a carbon, which we said, obviously, that means to say that the second one also can bring a carbon. And it must be that the three brings, because if you already have by two, three for sure. So therefore, Mizavi says only some bring a carbon, which is the Baal Shalash and not the Baal Shtayim. Now, V'Mizavi, had we only had the second interpretation, so yeah, we would have known that some do bring a carbon and some don't. But La'yadana Kamri Is, we would not have known how many discharges. Yeah, it's telling us some of them do, some don't, but we wouldn't have known. Does it mean 3 and 4 or 2 and 3? We don't know what's the contrast, who is saying yeah brings and who doesn't. Kamash Malan, Reb Simai, therefore we had the first teacher, Reb Simai, that says, we know, we're talking about the one that brings 2 and then it says Tame, the one that has 3 discharges and says Tame. So obviously if it's saying 3 and Tame, obviously it's coming to differentiate between 2 and Tame, and obviously it's regarding those two numbers that the other Pasuk, Mizayv, is coming to tell us that yeah, only some of them bring a carbon, which is the one who has 3 discharges and not the one who has 2 discharges, although he will have all the Tumah of Azaf. But now, based on what we said from this last brisum, Hashda da Amrit, now that you said Mizaivi Ledrasha, that when it says from his Ziva, you're saying the Mem is from, is coming to say a Drasha. So the Gemara asks regarding the following Pasuk. Pasuk in Biyikra that says, Chiyitr Hazav Mizaivi, when the Zav will be purified from his Ziva. So the Pasuk says over there, so he's going to count 7 clean days for his purification, then he'll wash his clothing, and he'll bathe his flesh in spring water, and he'll become tar. So my darsha space. So what are you going to expound from that mizayvai? Obviously, in the context of ziva, you're expounding the mem. So what are you saying in this pasuk? Says Gemara, yeah, who me bialei? That you need for a different drasha. Look at the time, like learn a brisa which expounds that mizayvai, because as we mentioned, the pasuk opens up with saying v'chiyiter hazav, when the zav purifies himself. So the brisa says that means l'kesha yivsig mizayvai, from the moment that he stops his flowing from his male member, meaning to say he doesn't have to first immerse himself in the mikvah before he starts counting the shivanikim. No, chiyitar azav, when he stops, he purified just from the flow. So then, like the pasuk says, he can start counting his shivanikim. That's what those words teach. When then the pasuk says chiyitar azav mizayvai, from his ziva, what does that mean? From his ziva, v'le mizayvai v'nigay, but it doesn't have to be purified from his ziva and his negav tzaras. Meaning, for example, if let's say there was a person that was tummy because he was a zav, he had discharges from his body, and additionally he was tummy because he has a negav tzaras on his body. So that's what the pasuk telling us, if he stopped from his flow, but he wasn't yet healed from his negav tzaras, and v'safer, says the pasuk, he's counting shiv nekiyim. What does that tell us? That we don't tell him, no, you can't count yet your shiv nekiyim until you're also purified from your negav tzaras. No, says the pasuk, as long as he's pure mizayvai, he can start counting right away. And the counting of the shiv nekiyim from his ziva will count. Now, although he's not pure yet, because he's still tummy from his negav tzaras, but the moment he gets cleared from his negav tzaras, so immediately when he does that first immersion, when he's purified from his tzaras, that tefillah is going to work for his nega and for the ziva that already counted shiv nekiyim, which the tefillah of the ziva is after you count shiv nekiyim. Now he's purified from contaminating the beds and the chairs that he sits on, and also from contaminating earthenware vessels when he pushes, which is what the halacha b'zav is. He's not going to have that halacha anymore. Now, although regarding his tzaras, he still has to count 7 clean days for his tzaras, which only after that is he'd be permitted to partake of kachim and to immerse a second time, like it says in the pasuk in Mitzayra and Yivayikri Yadalad, v'rachetz b'mayim v'tahar, that he first bathes himself, he goes in the mikveh and he purifies himself, then he comes to the camp, and then he sits outside of his tent 7 days, and on the 7th day, then he cuts off all his hair, etc., and then he goes in the mikveh again. That's what the Abrais is teaching us, but the first immersion that he does right away will purify him from contaminating the halachas of Azav, which he could count even during the time of when he has his tzaras, as long as he stopped his ziva, and then it won't be metame anymore, mishka v'meshav, and earthenware vessels when he moves it around. That's what we learn from mizayvai. Additionally, mizayvai v'safar, meaning, if you read the pasuk, it sounds like when the zav is going to purify himself from his discharge, comma, and then v'safar l'yishav esyam, he counts 7 days for his purification. But the Bryce is pointing out, why does it say the word, the counting, v'safar, near the word of mizayvai, to teach you that, and this is what we're answering the Gemara's question, mizayvai, that even regarding mikta zav, only even a partial zav, is going to require v'safar. What's that teaching? Limed al zav bal shtei ra'is. This teaches even regarding a partial zav, meaning it doesn't have 3 times, which is chayv in the carbon. Even if he only has 2 discharges, shetain sevir shiva, that is going to require a counting of 7 clean days. That's mizayvai v'safar. Now, then the question is, but valei dinu, But wouldn't logic tell us that, of course, why do you need a pasuk to teach this halacha? If, as we pointed out before, that when he has two discharges, he has all the severity of the tumah v'zav, that even when he sits on the ilei zan has halach of avatumah, so lo yehei toin sevir shiva, is he not going to have to count 7 clean days? Isn't everywhere where we find this severe type of level of tumah, like by nida and the zav of 3 times, that you require shiva nekim, we would, by a ziva, meaning a ziva and a zav, why would we think that you wouldn't have to have Shev Nekim? Why do you need to include that from the pasuk of Mizayvi V'Safer, which is answering the Gemara's question of what does Mizayvi come to say? Yeah, even Mikzah Zayvi, even if a partial Zayvi has to count Shev Nekim, why would we think not? Why do you need that Jerusha to tell you that? That the Gemara continues to Mabez, yeah, you do need a pasuk, because Shemeris Yom Kenegid Yom Techiach. What happens is that a woman has days of a cycle of Nida and Ziva. For seven, if let's say the first time ever she has a discharge of menstrual blood, she becomes a nida for 7 days, whether she sees dam or not, she's tummy for 7 days. Then after that, when she purifies from that, she has 11 days of yimei ziva, which we don't expect the woman to have a discharge then. During those 11 days, if 1 or 2 days, unlike 3 days, but then she becomes a zava, she sees dam only 1 or 2 days within those 11 days between the nida cycles, she counts the next day to make sure that she's clean, no discharge, and she could immerse herself that same day. Well, that's called Shemeres Yom, she's safeguarding a day, Kenegedim, correlating to the day of when she had the day before, or 2 days before, a discharge. That will disprove the question the Gemara is asking. Why? Shemetama Mishkav Maisha, we find as the Gemara, at the end of Masech Tesnid, Daf Ein Beis and Beis, includes this halacha, that even by Shemeres Yom, what she sits on, or what she lays on, has the tumah of Mishkav Maisha, and ve'ena tu in the sefer shiva, and she does not require a counting of 7 clean days. So va'afata al tidmazeh. So also you can't wonder also over here that sha'afa b'shemetam and mishkav ma'ishav. You're right. Although here by the zav b'shtei ri'is, as we mentioned before, even if he only had 2 discharges, he contaminates as an avatam what he lays and what he sits on. Still, I could tell you lo yehi toin sefer shiva that he would not require shem nekim like we find by the shemeres yom. Therefore, that's what you need tamalema. That's what you need. The drasha the Bryce was saying mizayvoy v'safar. What's mizayvay? Even mikta zayvay v'safar, even if it's a partial zav, that still he has to count shiv nekim. Limit al zav b'shtei re'is. This teaches us regarding a zav who only if he only had 2 discharges, shetoin sfir shiv, he's going to have shiv nekim. So again, that answers the Gemara question that yeah, we see mizayvay also in that pasuk is telling us drasha. But regarding the answer we just gave, the Gemara asks a question. Amalei of Papa Labaye says, so we have 2 drushas that we were saying from the mem of mizayvay. So he asked a question to contrast those 2 drushas. Maishna hai mizayvay, what's the difference between the drusha that we just brought, where we said mizayvay v'safar? So he expounded that word mizayvay means miktzazav. Now, we said that even by miktzazavin, that you require a counting of 7 clean days. Now, in that context, you expounded, what does it mean mizayvay? Demar bibe, you were using it as an inclusionary halacha. You included that even zav bal shtei re'is, even if someone only had 2 discharges, that is a partial zav, that there he's going to be included in the halacha of counting shiva nekiyim. So you're including something from there. Now why is that different than the first interpretation of mizayvay, which was in the context of bringing a carbon? There you didn't say that mezav is coming to include a partial zav, to include a zav who had only 2 discharges and the obligation of a carbon. Rather, the way you expounded over there, miktza zavin, you explained actually that was going on only some zavin, and only the one who has 3 discharges. From that mizayvay, you actually excluded the one who had 2 discharges. Why over there from mizayvay you exclude and here you including? So Abaye said to him as follows. He says, because Isa Gedaitech, I'll prove it to you, and that's what the obviousness is. Isa Gedaitech, if you would think to entertain that here in this last context that we just brought regarding counting 7 clean days, as in the first drush regarding carbon, that we said, oh, miktza zavin, only some zavin. Where by carbon we said that means to only the Baal's gimel re'is. And you would think to say also over here regarding, oh, mizayvay v'safar, only some zavin, they count shem nekiyim, which would only be, let's say, the one who had 3 discharges and excluding the one of 2 discharges. Says Abaye, you can't say that, and therefore we know it's coming to include. Because it was coming to exclude, lishta kromine. The pasuk could have been just silent and not mentioned those words. And from where would you think to say that the one who had only 2 discharges would have to have shiva nekiyim? We wouldn't know it. From the fact that it mentions it, obviously it's coming to include. That says Abaye and Bechita. Maybe you're going to say, no, what do you mean? You do need to exclude it. Because had we not mentioned it, Asimidina, we actually would have learned it out from a Kal Vachomer, like we mentioned this before, that if it's Metame Mishka V'Meishav, which we know about Zav Shteiri is Metame. So wouldn't it obviously require this accounting of Shiv and Nekim, and therefore you need the Pasuk to exclude? Says Abaye, no, you would not have known that, because that's what we also mentioned before. Shemeris Yom Keneged Yom Techiach. The Shemeris Yom disproves that logic, where she's Metame Mishka V'Meishav, and she doesn't have Shiv and Nekim. So therefore, you would not have known it. So why are you saying Mizai V'Vesafer? Not to exclude, because I would have no reason to think that it is to have to exclude it. Obviously, it's coming to include that even if it's only a partial Zab, it's going to have Halach of Shiv and Nekim. Now, says Abaye a little bit further, and Bechita, maybe you're going to say, no, still, how do you know that Baal Sav Shtei Re'iyas is included in Shiv Nekim from this Mizayvay V'Safer? Maybe you're going to say, hi, and the Gir says, Mizayvay Mibayle. Maybe you need Mizayvay to tell you something else. Mizayvay V'loy Mizayvay U'minigay, which was actually the first Rasha that the Braisa brought. Maybe Mizayvay is not because of this Safar. Maybe Mizayvay is only coming to tell you that all he needs to do to start counting Shiv Nekim is to be purified from Meziva, and you don't need to be purified yet from your Negev Tzaras. And maybe that's all the Pasuk's teaching. How do you know to also say this additional drasha of Mizayvay V'Safar? And that says Abaye, because Imkain, if that would be the case, Licht of Kra, the Pasuk should have only written, V'chiyiter HaZav, the Zav becomes purified, V'lishtik, and then stopped, and been silent, and not say the extra word of V'chiyiter HaZav Mizayvay. And why? If that's all the Pasuk would have said, we would have known from the fact that it says V'chiyiter HaZav, and it didn't write V'chiyiter just plain, because it doesn't have to say Hazav. We know who we're talking about in the context of the Pasuk. So if it would have just said V'chiyiter HaZav, we would have expounded to say this drasha, oh, V'chiyiter HaZav means to say if he's purified from a ziva, he doesn't have to purify himself from the neged saras. That's all it could have said, and we would have known that halacha of Mizayvay V'loy Mizayvay U'minigay. So then Mizayvay Lamali, so why does it have to say the extra word from his ziva? Obviously, to make the expound this drasha, that even Mikta Zavin require counting of Shiv and Nekiim, that's Limud al Zav Bashtei Re'iyas Shetoin Svir Shiva. That teaches us this halacha, that even that which had only two discharges requires the counting of Shiv and Nekiim. Again, the only difference is like that we learned in the halacha of the Mishnah, that of the carbon. That's only by the Baal Zav Gimel Re'iyas, in contrast to that of two discharges. Now, continuing with the next Mishnah, continuing on this theme of Ein Bein. Says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Mitzayra Musker. There's no difference between a confined Mitzayra, which that is a Mitzayra who has a Nega, but it has not yet been verified that it has the Tumah of Nega Tzaras, which has certain requirements, but he gets confined for a period of 7 days to see what's going on. There's no difference if the Mitzayra is just a confined Mitzayra, the Mitzayra Muchlet to a confirmed Mitzayra, which is after that he had the confined period. Then they see the signs of Tumah which are said regarding the Mitzayra that appear after the week of confinement. There's no difference between the two of them when they're in that period of either being confined or confirmed. Ela priya uprima. The only difference is that the confirmed one requires that his garments be torn and that his hair be let long and not cut, which that only applies to the mitzayr musker, to the mitzayr muchlet, to the confirmed one, and not to the confined one. Additionally, ein bein tahar mitecheska. There's no difference between the mitzayr who becomes purified from when he was confined, to that who becomes purified after that he was confirmed, meaning by both of them, we say that they're not a mitzvah, but one was just confined and one was even confirmed, but now he becomes tar. The only difference between them when they become pure is ele teglachas v'tziparim. It's only regarding the cutting off all of the hair of his body and the requirement of bringing the birds. Everything else is the same between them, but regarding that, those two things, that's only for the mitzvah that's becoming tar from his confirmed tzaras, in contrast to that who was only confined for tzaras. Now the Gemara makes an inference, like we were saying in all these Mishnayos, but hala'inyan shiloach, but it sounds like regarding being sent outside of the walls of the city, v'tuma, and having all the severity of the laws of tuma, which are said regarding the mitzayra, that zeb is eshavan, that applies to not only to the mitzayra muchlid, but also to the mitzayra muskar, only even to the one who's only just confined and not confirmed. Says the Gemara, Manon, Amila, where do we know that the halacha of priya and prima only applies by the Mitzayra Muzger? Maybe the Torah only said it by Muchlet, but maybe the same thing would apply to the Mitzayra Muzger, just like you're saying regarding Tumma, that the Tumma that's by regular Mitzayra applies to that of Muzger, of confined, maybe also pre and prima, leaving his hair long and cutting and ripping his clothing, would apply to the Mitzayra Muzger too. How do you know it's not? So says the Gemara, because the Tani Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak Kamid Rav Huna, he taught the following brisa. Pasuk says in Yikra, regarding the Mitzayra that is becoming pure from his being confined. He was never confirmed as a Mitzayra, but he was confined. We have to put him in, you have to leave him in this closed area to see what it's going to be like after 7 days. So when he becomes pure from that, the end of the Pasuk says, V'tiyarei HaKoyin, the Koyin purifies him. Mispachasi, it was just a stain, meaning it was not an egg of tzaras. V'chibas begadav, so he washes his clothing. V'tahir, and he's pure. Now, the diuk is, it doesn't say vayitahir, that the Koyin purifies him, which that would sound like, now it's from here on. No, v'tahir, that he is pure, sounds like that he always was, something from the past. So that, says the Braisa, what does that mean? How was the Mitzayra Muzgir, who was only confined, that he was tar up until now? No, he was tummy. No, on some level he was tar. Because tar mipriya uprima de mikara. He was pure from some of the laws of Mitzayra, even up until now, from the requirement of leaving his hair long and ripping his clothing. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, that even before he immersed himself, he was pure from some of the tumah of the severity of Mitzayra, which is regarding priya and prima. However, Amalei Rava asks, Elamiyata, but if that would be the interpretation, then Gabi Zav, regarding to a different halachic context, regarding the Tumah of Zav. The Pasuk says in Yikra, where at the end, when the Zav purifies himself, so it says, V'chibes begadav, he washes his clothing, V'toher, and he's pure. Again, it doesn't say, and he will be. It says, like, in the present tense, which is also for the past. Says Rava, based on your interpretation, Hasamai Vatar Mekarika. Azav has all the severities of the levels of Tumah of Ziva. What would it mean to say that up until now he was partly pure from the Tumas of Ziva? That wouldn't make sense in that context. So Ella rather says Rava, obviously what the Pasuk over there means is Tar Hashta. It's that he's pure now from here on, but you're right, it doesn't say in the future tense, it says Vitar in the present tense, because on some level it's from here on. But it's also retroactive. Why? So Rav explains. Milatame kli cheres behesed. He's pure now from contaminating an earthenware vessel that he's going to cause to move. Avagav dehadr chazi. So the Zav could go ahead and he already counted 7 clean days. On this last of the clean days, he can immerse himself in the mikvah. Now, he's pure now. But even if he subsequently sees a discharge on the 7th day, which actually will undo his whole shiv nikiyim, and it will be like retroactively he was tummy, but regarding Hesed of Kli Cheres, it will not be Tamei retroactive. In other words, even though he immersed that day on the 7th day, if he has a discharge on that same day, it undoes the Shiv Nekiyim. And actually, let's say whatever he had sat on or lay on between the time of when he went to the mikveh and that he subsequently had a discharge actually does become retroactively Tamei. As the Gemara says, Psachim da Pe'alf Menaf, and for sure the person himself. That's what Rav is saying. Even so, his immersion that he did on day 7 is effective in regards to contaminating an earthenware vessel that he caused to move between his immersion, let's say, that he did at 3 o'clock, and the discharge that he had, let's say, later on at 4 o'clock. And that's how it's expounded in the Brayso and Taras Koyin, which Rashi explains. The exposition is, here it says, v'tahir, which is in the present tense, which is even for the past. Regarding contaminating an earthenware vessel, how do we know that specifically regarding an earthenware vessel? Is because from the fact that this pasuk is written after the pasuk that says the kli cheres, that an earthenware vessel ashiyigaboy hazav that hazav will touch, which the Brayso and Taras Koyin learns out, that's the source for hesed kli cheres for hazav, that hazav could contaminate even if he's not touching, even if he just causes the earthenware vessel to be moved, and there is nothing else that contaminates an earthenware vessel by being caused to move but hazav. So therefore, we're saying that regarding that halacha of kli cheres behesed, v'tahir is telling us that he's going to be pure, even in a retroactivity, but from here on, which is when he immersed himself, not something that already was in the past, but let's say if he has a discharge an hour or two later, that there the tum is going to be retroactive, whatever he had in between of hesed kli cheres, that's not going to be tummy. So says Rava, obviously that's an interpretation by the Zav, because there's no retroactivity of Tahara that a Zav had up until now, he's totally tummy. So says Rava, so Hachanami, so then the same thing over here of a Tahir that it says by the Mitzayra, is Tar Hashta. It's only going to be purification of now, also regarding retroactivity, but a here and on retroactivity, from contaminating of coming into an oil, into a house, retroactively, which that's one of the severities of Metzaira, that it contaminates people or vessels that come with them into the same house, into the same oil. So that's what Rav is saying, that would tell us that even if, let's say, the stain on his body comes back and it spreads, and hence it becomes Tomaz and Negev Tziraz, but regarding the things that were in between that, in the house, are going to be tar. Whereas the Pasuk says, if let's say it spreads this mespachas on his skin, so we're saying that the immersion that he had will help to purify the vessels that were with him in the house between when he immersed himself and when he subsequently had the expansion of the nega that says, it's not true that he's tar. He actually is going to be tamei. Because like we said, there's a severity of mitzvah that contaminates whatever's in the oil with him, as the Brisa teaches in Teretz Kandam, Zoyis HaTor L'chol Nega Tzeras, or Nesek Tzeras, HaBeged Ula Bais, which just like the house becomes tamei when he comes into it, also all the things. So that says Rava. That would say that if he immersed himself, but then we see that, wait a second, it is expanding, really is tummy. It turns out that retroactively really was a negative tzaras. But regarding those in the bias, those things are not going to have the retroactive tummy. So it's regarding that. But it's not telling us that up until now, meaning we had confined him, we didn't know. Oh, we said, he's not tummy. So it's really the Tahir from here on, retroactively from here on, but not what was. So you don't see a source over here of pre and prima, which was even before the tefillah, because he proves that idea from Zav, that it's also not what was, but rather from here on a retroactivity. So that refutes the interpretation of Rav Shmuel by Yitzchak. So Elam HaRav rather gives a different source, that there's no pre and prima by the Mitzayim Musgir. Mahacha, from over here, Pasuk HaMeyikr. The Pasuk says, Vatzerua Ashabai HaNega, the Mitzayim that has in him the Neg of Tziras. So that's where the Pasuk says that he has to tear his garments, he has to leave his hair growing long. Now it says, Ashaboy HaNega. What do you mean, in him is the Nega? Misha Tzerata Taluya Begufa, someone that his Tziraz is contingent and dependent on his body, meaning, as long as the Nega was not healed from him, he's going to be tummy. That's the Mitzayim Musker. The Mitzar Mukhlet, the confirmed Mitzar, because his purification depends on his body, like the Pasuk says, Vina Nirpa Nega Tzaras Mitzaru, only when the negative Tzaras is healed, then he becomes Tahar. Yatza Zeh, that excludes the Mitzar Muskri that's only confined, Shein Tzarat Tethluya Begufai, his purification of Tzaras does not depend on his body, Ela Bayamim, only on the days. His Tuma, during the days of Hezker, is dependent on days, meaning, if let's say they count the 7 days which they had him tummy, and then they don't find that his hair turned white or that it expands, he's going to be tar, even though the neg stayed the same. Nothing in his body has to change. It's the days that it's contingent. So that's not talking about in that pasuk. There it's ashabai haneg, it's dependent on his body. That's where priya prima apply, but regarding the material musgur, that's only regarding the yamim, then there's no halacha priya prima. But on this asked Abaya, Amalei Abaya, El Me'atav, if that's the interpretation, then go to the next pasuk. It says in that pasuk, Kol yimei asher nega boy, all the days that the nega is in him, sayitma, he's going to be tamei, which the pasuk there concludes regarding having to send him out of the city, mechutz lamachne meshavay, out of the camp, out of the city is where the mitzvah has to be. So here's two says Abaya, you should make your drasha, because it says the word boy here too. Misha tzerat itluyi begufa, someone that is tzerat is dependent on his body, who detoin sheluach, that's where he has to be sent out of the city. And whoever his tzaras is not dependent on his body, meaning mitzera musker, does not have to be sent out of the city. Now it says, if you're going to say yes, that's the interpretation, but Bogotan will learn in the Mishnah not like that. The Mishnah said, there is no difference between the confined mitzera and the confirmed mitzera, ela priya prima, except for tearing the garments and letting the hair grow long. But regarding being sent out of the city and contaminating a house that the Mitzrayah walks into, Zev is Hashem, they're the same. But based on your interpretation, the law of Shiluach should not apply to Mitzrayah Muska. On that he answered him, no, it's not difficult. Because the Pasuk should have written, Yimei, the days. But it doesn't say that. It says, Kol Yimei, all the days. Kol is an inclusionary terminology. L'rabbis mitzvah muskul l'shiluach. You're right, you have a special ribbon in that pasuk coming to include the confined mitzvah that he also has to be sent out of the city, which is the context of that pasuk. But on that, the Gemara continues to ask, but Iyach, if that's the case, like this previous interpretation is saying, that Rava said, that really we learn out that the mitzvah muskul is just like mitzvah muchlet. The only reason why I say it doesn't have pri and prima is because he's excluded from the word bay. And then we asked from the next pasuk, we said, yeah, bay should exclude him that too, but the word kol comes to include him. But if that's the case, that he has old halachas as a mitzayir muchlid, so teglachas v'tzipor my time aloy, then but why then in his purification doesn't the mitzayir muzgir, when he becomes purified, have to shave off all his hair and bring these two birds? Now, diktanim, because we learned in the Mishnah that ein bein tor mitaycheskir, there's no difference between someone during the days of his healing, when he becomes pure from being confined, letahar mitaychechlet, who is becoming purified from being confirmed as a mitzayra, ela teglachas vitziparim. The only difference is that no, the cutting of the hair and the birds are only from mitzayra musker and not mitzayra from mitzayra muchlet and not mitzayra musker. Why not? It doesn't say bay over there. He should have to also bring the tziparim and have his hair cut. Now Rashi points out, although there actually is another difference, there's by the mitzvah muchlet, he has to bring karbanas ashram and he has to bring a leg of oil. But says Rashi here, the Mishnah is only talking about the day when he becomes purified and when he gets healed from his negav tzaras. That there's no context of karbanas over there because the karbanas are only brought 8 days later. But when they become purified, the one difference is the mitzvah muchlet has to bring tziparim and have teglachas. Why does not apply to the mitzvah muzger? And that Abaye, he answers the question. He says, I'm a crow, because the pasuk says, V'yotza koin al mechotz l'machne, the koin goes out of the camp to go ahead and inspect the mitzayram. And it says, the koin sees, V'hine nirpa nega hatzaras. And he sees that the nega of tzaras is healed. And it says after that, that then after he's healed, he has to bring the two birds that are alive, and v'gilachas kalsar, that he cuts off his hair. These two halachas. So says Abaye, what you see from this pasuk is, misha tzarata teluya berefuyas. We're only talking about a type of mitzvah that's contingent on the healing of his neged tzaras. Because it says, v'hinei nirpa neged tzaras. Yotza zed, that excludes the mitzvah muzgir, the confined one, shein tzarata teluya berefuyas. Like we said, his purification from his tzaras is not dependent on healing the neged tzaras, rather on the days, because his neka could stay the same, as long as other things didn't happen. So it's the days that purify him, and therefore that's how we know that the halacha of also of teglachas etziparim do not apply to the tara of the musker, it's only to the tara of the muchlik. Now we continue with the next Mishnah, continuing this theme of ein bein svarim. There's no difference between scrolls of Tanakh, of Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, litfilin and mezuzahs to the scrolls of tefillin and of mezuzahs, which go on the doorpost. Ella, the only difference is, shasvarim nechtav mechaloshim. The svarim of Tanakh can be written in all languages. With tefillin mezuzahs, in nechtav es el ashuris. But tefillin mezuzahs can only be written with ksav ashuri, which is lashon hakodesh, which is the Hebrew language, in that script of ashuri, which is that like we have in our Sefer Torah. Now, but Sefer, he says the Tanakhama, only tefillin mezuzahs require that, but all other svarim, including a Sefer Torah, could be written in all languages. He says, no. He says, no, even the Sifri Tanakh, they didn't permit to write any other language besides the Lashon HaKodesh, Eliyavanas, only Greek, which the Torah will say why that is, but he says it can't be all languages, it's only Greek, and that's what he says that we allow by Tanakh, not just Lashon HaKodesh, but also Greek. Now, but again, the Gemara makes an inference, but halatayfren begidin, but to stitch together the parchment, to go ahead and stitch them together, that regarding stitching them with sinews, which are tendons, which are parts of an animal, which the reason was because all their svarim of Tanakh were made with scrolls, which is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but tefillin mezuzahs, that has to be stitched with sinews and tendons. Now, regarding Sifri Torah, however, the machlekes in the Gemara Masechtas Makis, Daf Yud Aleph Man Aleph, that there are those who want to say that a Sefer Torah could be stitched with even with linen. That's what our Gemara is saying, but the Tanakh of our Mishnah is obviously saying like the one who says that it's invalid, because regarding everything else, is the only difference between them and tefillin mezuzahs, which require being stitched with tendons, that the only, we said the only difference is regarding what language, but regarding stitching with tendons, ulatame sidame, regarding contaminating the hands, zevaz ashav, and that then both of them are the same, that for that they we're not differentiating. And just like svarim have that, so do tefillin mezuzahs have the tumas sidame, and so to just like tefillin mezuzahs have l'tefer begidin, so to all svarim, not like that man d'amid that says a separate Torah could be stitched, not just with tendons, but also even with linen.